This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tee Clinic. Men's Tee Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. Five DFW locations with North Frisco, El Dorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEE or visit menstclinic.com. It's better
over here. Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
Money Movers provides investors with real-time analysis of the stories and the people attracting the attention of markets each day. I'm Carl Quintanilla.
And I'm Sarah Eisen. We'll cover the breaking news and numbers driving stocks and sectors, helping you make critical decisions. Plus, we'll speak with the CEOs, newsmakers, and political leaders playing a role in how your money is moving.
Listen to CNBC's Money Movers free on the Odyssey app.
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105 Through the Fan. We're live at Buffalo Wild Wings in Grapevine. And right now, we're going to talk with our Dallas Cowboys insider, Mickey Spagnola. Good morning, sir.
Good morning, gentlemen. How's it going?
It's good. It's good. Now, after you heard our chat with Jerry Jones, I know, obviously, for competitive advantage reasons, it wouldn't be smart to say, yeah, they're all out. But I have lots of questions about Diggs, Bland, and Micah in this game. Is that fair?
That's fair. Where do you want to start?
Let's start with Diggs.
I think at this point, I think he's very questionable.
Yeah, because Jerry said, and it might have just been like something everybody already knew, but it caught me, a calf tear.
Well, when you sprain
that's a
muscle,
tear.
It's
yeah,
a tear
would be out for the year.
Yeah,
so I think he's used the word in a different way.
Yeah, it's just kind of a slight strain.
But
you strained a muscle, so there's a slight tear in there, and yeah, I think that's very concerning because he hasn't practiced yet.
Yep.
He has worked out on the resistance cords.
Yeah.
But the scary thing is if he can't. That would mean you're without both your Pro Bowl corners.
Yep.
Kalen Carson should be back for this game, so he'll start at one corner. Now, you want to propose a starter at the other corner if Diggs not there?
Yeah, because move Lewis,
Olaurier just got put on IR, and he's the guy that had been coming in these last couple games with his fractured transverse process. So who would you like to see out there?
I mean, I guess this is my only hope of figuring out a way to get Wanye Thomas on the field.
Oh, yeah,
so
not at corner, though.
Yeah, that might be my best shot to get him on the field, Mickey.
See, and if you looked at last week, when San Francisco started with a regular offense, just two wide receivers, Jordan Lewis went out there at corner. But this team, I think, probably plays nickel almost every down.
Yeah.
So if Jordan Lewis is in the slot, that leaves you with a choice. Well, I don't know if this is a choice because Andrew Booth is on the 53-man roster, and he's been inactive every game since playing that first half miserably against, I believe it was the Giants.
I remember that half.
So next man up is off the practice squad, Josh Butler. And he has yet to play in an NFL game.
All right, so it's looking great is what I'm hearing.
Yeah, so that's something to keep a serious eye on how they would have to protect. So you would have a rookie on one side, hasn't played in four games, and a guy that was on your practice squad last year for the first time in the NFL, and he's still on the practice squad, and you would have to elevate him to play his first NFL game.
Let's go.
So that doesn't sound real enlightening, does it?
Well, I mean, it does if you're a gambler, perhaps. I don't know.
If you like a lot of points, right?
Yeah, yeah. If you like a lot of points. Well, that is concerning. So
okay.
I'm going to try to come up with something positive.
Now, you asked about the other two.
Yeah.
And they neither one of them have practiced this
yeah.
week. So I don't see that happening.
All right. So here's my Hail Mary that sometimes works for Washington. There are eight players in the NFL that have more sacks individually than all of the Atlanta Falcons as a team combined. Should this at least be a game where hopefully Dak has time to think and process and perhaps some holes are made for the running backs?
Well, I think that's what has to happen, right?
Yes.
And I think that if you look at some of the things that have occurred to Atlanta – over the previous eight games, when they got beat by Seattle at home, by the way, they gave up 34 points. Now, I think the Cowboys offense, even if shorthanded by Brandon Cooks and the youth on the offensive line, should be able to score points against this team.
Yes.
I think that's kind of the way. If they're going to win, that has to happen to be able to compensate for maybe what they can't get done on defense against the team that, has played decently on offense. And they've got a quarterback that if you let him stand in the pocket, he's going to hurt you.
Yes, for sure.
And they've got a running game that, averages more than 100 yards a game. I believe they're, if I remember correctly, or Bijan is seventh in rushing in the NFL. I think that this offense has to function, and preferably for more than, 2.5 quarters.
Yeah.
Maybe the whole game, because even though, they were leading at halftime, they scored all of 10 points against San Francisco. Now, if you can, add the 14 in the fourth quarter, then, you take away the third quarter, what did they win? 24 to 9.
I could say that for a couple games this year. Unfortunately, that pesky third
that
quarter
other quarter keeps popping counts,
up.
Huh?
Yeah. It keeps popping up, and we continually get off to slow starts in the game, slow starts in the third quarter.
Details.
It's not hard to see that that is a big part that is
right.
really shooting this team in the foot.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's a double-edged sword, too. It's not just the defense giving up points, the offense not holding on to the football. Three and out.
Absolutely.
And then those guys are tired. And then you're in a hurry up offense and you like it, but you're not going to score every time, and that's what they needed against San Francisco to be able to win the game. So, maybe you start the game in 2-minute offense.
Oh, man, that's interesting because I did hear McCarthy on Sean RJ and Bobby talk about that this morning. I thought that was an interesting approach.
Well, and he's talking about, more so than just 2-minute offense, pace of play.
Yes,
exactly. Keep getting to the line of scrimmage. Get to the line of scrimmage. Don't let the defense have a lot of time to think or even take a deep breath. But again, that's fine and good, but if you're not getting first downs, then you're shooting yourself in the foot.
For sure.
And they've maybe done that before, too. So, yeah, I think your point about maybe scoring points on this team, that maybe should be able to take place even though they're playing on the road.
Okay.
I think that, that's where they got to win this game.
I have a more radical opinion that you might not agree with at all. I am done with running the ball on the first drive of the game. just the first drive of the game, because you've had seven games. The three where you passed the ball more than you ran it, you scored points. The three where you ran the ball more than you passed it, you scored none. Now, there was one other drive, but you also had three penalties in that drive. So I would like a controversial strategy. First drive of the game, just throw the ball.
Well, you got that to start the second half, didn't you?
That's true. And
pass,
that didn't,
pass,
yeah.
pass, punt.
Yep.
Next one was pass, run, interception, maybe?
Yes.
So be careful for what you hope for.
We've had some problems. At this point, I'm willing to experiment with that. I really am.
Yeah, and, you know, and that's fine. But again, I think their intent is somehow, some way, establish the running game. And if for no other reason, maybe you can run and the clock's running and you keep your defense off the field maybe a little longer. And not, you know, put that defense out there that's, I mean, look, you're, again, you know, we just talked about the cornerback situation, right?
Yep.
And then
right.
we've talked endlessly about the defensive end position
yep.
and the ability to put pressure on opposing quarterbacks. So at some point, you got to protect those guys because you're playing with people, you know, it's your fifth and sixth defensive ends. And two of them weren't even with the team when the season started. The other two...
You're right. What are you supposed to do at times?
Yeah. You would have been hard-pressed to know
yes.
that T. Wheat was on the field. I mean,
yes.
on the team, right?
True.
Absolutely.
You might have heard of Golston.
Yeah.
And now it's Carl Lawson and K.J. Henry. And you're aware of him, right?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah, he was a Bengals like practice squad guy, and then they signed him. Like those are late signs, Mick. Those are late additions.
At least he had played a few games for Washington the year before.
Oh yeah.
So
yeah.
they kind of knew something about him. But yeah, so you know, and you're starting two rookies at linebacker. So you know, there's somewhat of a reason for why this happens. And, you know, not making excuses. I'm just throwing out facts right now.
No, I get you.
Just spitting facts, Mickey. The
Good
I didn't
one.
Ask Jerry this. I probably should have. Is Rico the starter? Bobby and Sean and RJ were talking about this morning. Do you think he's the starter on Sunday, or is that?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay.
But I think that they're going to try to get Dalvin Cook some more touches and see if, you know, there's something there. I mean, I was making fun of it. He only had six carries, so
he had 12 yards.
I know.
All right.
See, I didn't want to go there, but you did. I didn't want to be overly critical of a guy that, you know, he been sitting there. Everybody's wanted him, and then they
yeah.
got him, and now it's like, well,
yeah.
what do we got? So I think maybe they may try to find out a little bit more about him, but he'll be elevated again off the practice squad for sure. So we'll see. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device credit service ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
You got to take a listen to this. It's Squawk Pod.
That's right. CNBC's flagship business news show is a podcast, Squawk Pod.
This is CNBC Control 2.
It is not just the show, folks.
It might be even better because it's only audio.
Join me, Katie Kramer, as I take you inside the Squawk Box control room and beyond the headlines of our TV broadcast with Joe Kernan, Becky Quick, and Andrew Ross Sorkin every weekday.
Roll alpha.
Listen to CNBC's Squawk Pod free on the Odyssey app.
You bring up a very savvy point, though, and people can interpret this however they want. If you're desperate for help at a specific position and you sign somebody at that specific position and they just sit there on the practice squad, maybe that tells you what you need to know.
Well, and that's kind of been my, you know, deduction on not rushing him out there and handing him the ball. So I think
yeah.
they feel better about him at least being ready to you know, go out there and at least know what's going on, what to do.
Yeah.
You know, and a lot of it, you know, the running game, you got to be in concert with the offensive line. Got a chance yesterday. Will McClay was on the board and diagramming some of Bijan Robinson's plays. And one of the things I could see was, you know, you a lot of times the hole is supposed to be, say, to your right.
Right.
But you got to be able to see if there's a backside cut. And he had a run where he was supposed to go to the right, And you could see, and he didn't hurry, right? He kind of paused a little. He wasn't in a hurry. He saw the linebacker ready to fill that gap, and he immediately cut to the left. And he had another hole if the wide receiver picked off the other linebacker. And the wide receiver did, and he ended up with a 10-yard run. So a lot of this is not just the running back. It's how the line and the rest of the team is blocking on any certain play, and that gets overlooked because you got to see that. And I think the running backs need reps to be able to kind of notice, like, and have the wherewithal not to hit a hole that's just not there just because that you're supposed to go. You got to have the vision and the quick feet to be able to adjust and see, oh, look at that backside cut. So there's a lot more to it. But, yeah, I think Rico's still the guy. 102.4, right?
No, it's 105.3 The Fan, Mick. That is the name of our station.
I was going to say that's not a new radio station in town, right?
No.
Right.
So there was a reason why, you know, he didn't play. I know there were some people thinking, oh, I don't know, something fishy's up.
Mike is one of those people.
Oh, he was.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Just typically. That's usually Mike, though.
What is your prediction for Sunday?
I have to do this, right?
Yes, you do.
Right, yes.
Well, here's this is great, right? The Cowboys just don't lose three games in a row.
Hell yeah.
Right?
I haven't
done that since 2020, right?
I agree.
Yeah.
And since we made a big deal last week out of the Cowboys losing to San Francisco the last three times they've played, well, they've beaten the Falcons the last three times they've played.
Oh, let's go.
How about that?
I like
We're
it.
In their head now.
So you're predicting victory for these Dallas Cowboys, eh?
How about the unstable score of 25-23?
I love numbers like that.
I do, too.
That's so awkward.
All right.
I like it.
Excellent stuff, Mick. We'll
and
catch
excuse
you
me
again.
If you think I'm making fun of predictions.
No. In my mind, the Cowboys are going to score one touchdown and kick six field goals, and that's how they're going to
that's
win
how they get there, right?
Exactly.
Right, yeah.
I think I didn't figure out how I was going to get to 25.
Well, just helped you out there. We'll catch up with you again on Monday, good sir.
And you know what? I'll still be here.
There we go.
There you go. Mickey Spagnola right here on 105.3 The Fan. Alec, if you can give me a little bit of that cut number six, I want to throw it over to the Stars real quick.
Final seconds left on the power play. Shot, score! Right upstairs by Matt Duchene. With a second left on the power play, it's a power play goal. And the Stars have a 3-0 lead.
I think they played at noon.
Now that is not from today, and you might be thinking it's 11:15 in the morning. I figured that part. But they play at noon today, and I believe the Stars and Panthers play again tomorrow at 10 in the morning, because, at least our time, because they are playing in Finland. So we're less than an hour away from the Stars game starting. But also, thought this was great news for the Stars. Sportico put out its NHL franchise valuations. The Stars went up year over year 49% in value, and now they are up to $1.65 million. That's just behind the Arizona Coyotes, who, you know, they moved to a whole different place, and their franchise value rocketed up.
What, Mike?
It went up one point something?
No, it went up 49% to $1.65
billion. Billion, okay.
With a B.
Okay. Yeah.
No.
I told you we should have bought him.
He did. He was very adamant.
Did we
about
have
that.
The capital
like, no.
to put that all together?
Hockey's never going to make it in the United States, Mike.
That is not a thing that I have said.
Of Finland people on their team. Nobody wants to go see Finland people in the United States.
What an interesting interpretation.
Especially in Utah.
It's like Lori Markkanen from Finland.
I don't know.
Well, that's a question. We have a bunch of hockey players on the Stars from Finland. Kevin was talking about that the other day.
Yes.
We did a really good job
ever
listening
since they
in that
moved
segment.
From Minnesota. It was a demand from the Stars ownership,
no matter
who it was, have a Finland guy.
Yeah, multiple if we can.
We're the KNC masterpiece.
And we'll celebrate him like Duchene.
Uh-huh.
Is Duchene from Finland? We played a highlight of him. I figured we would play a highlight of a Finland person.
Okay, that is...
That is fair. And my apologies, the Stars play at 1 today and 11 a.m. tomorrow.
Oh, okay, okay.
So I got the time zone mixed up by an hour right there.
Time.
I apologize for giving you
Utah,
Mountain Standard Time
yeah,
right
Utah.
There. We're the Cansy Masterpiece,
hockey
God
club,
help us.
Right there, a hockey club.
Right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, ESPN, Bo Nix, and people who don't know or follow trick-or-treat etiquette. Do any of these folks deserve Forgiveness Friday? Do you? 877-881-1053. We'll do it next live from Buffalo Wild Wings in Grapevine on 105.3 The Fan.
Couple tight ends in this set. Nix shows off the arm strength of a one-handed grab. National Tight Ends Day. Adam Troutman says, it's my day.
KNC Masterpiece back here on 105.3 The Fan. We're live at Buffalo Wild Wings in Grapevine. Where there are heartwarming things happening before we get to Forgiveness Friday. Somebody said there's no more actual chairs back in our section, at which point another Tolo said, I got a four-top. You could sit with me.
There you go.
Tolos coming together. And then we have another Tolo out here that was just in Finland and showing off a picture of where the Stars are going to play.
Oh, is his daughter's the Disney princess,
yeah,
right?
That's I believe that
yeah,
is I believe
awesome.
That is correct.
That's cool. Finland's awesome, man.
And then I have breaking Rangers news for you.
They won the World Series a year ago today.
That is true. Oh, we forgot to play the mic audio for Mickey where Mike's like, I don't care about your emotions.
It's okay.
Scared.
Mickey had a lot to say today, right?
Justin Veeley from San Francisco has been hired as the Rangers' new hitting coach.
Heck yeah.
All right, who's he?
He's a hitting coach, obviously.
Well, I mean, I understand that, but do you know him?
Not at all.
Okay, all right. So we got a lot to learn about Justin Veeley and his approach.
Because you really thought Mike was going to be like, I saw him in San Francisco, and yeah. I got nothing.
Coaches matter. I don't want to make this sound like they don't matter.
Okay.
But the same guy who led you to one of the best offenses in the game, and you won the World Series, a lot of it based off of your offense, then the guy doesn't have, like, not him, but the team doesn't hit offensively. Like, well, is this just like the coach now for Washington? Why am I drawing a blank?
Dan Quinn.
Oh, Dan Quinn.
Oh, I thought you meant baseball.
He's the worst. And you're like, wait a second. Didn't he take over the worst defense in the NFL? Now, adding Micah Parsons meant a lot, but he really liked Micah Parsons in the draft. This and that. And so it's interesting that Tim Hyers can be a great hitting coach and then to some fans be a horrible hitting coach. I don't know if he's the best hitting coach. Probably not in baseball. He's definitely not the worst hitting coach in baseball either. Maybe the guys just weren't good hitters in 2024 as a whole. And so we will see. I do think that this guy's coming in, Justin Veeley, is that how you say his last name? He does have a lot of talent to work with. I mean, like, if you're going to be Will Venable's hitting coach, you don't have a lot of talent to work with. I mean, let's just be honest about the White Sox. But if you're here, you do have some things that you have to work on. One, I know he was hurt, but Evan Carter batting against lefties, Evan Carter's consistency. I can't fix his health as a hitter. Let's look at Wyatt Langford. Can you build on what happened in the month of September as the season went along? If Adolis Garcia is on the team, which I assume he is, can you get him back to being a consistent, productive player? So there's a lot of things that he has talented guys, but those will be a lot of the questions that you hope he can help out those at least three guys specifically.
Now, you guys ready to fire up a little Forgiveness Friday? 877-881-1053, Frankel & Frankel Injury Attorney text line, or the Twitch, or the YouTube, if you want to get involved. First off, does Bo Nix need to ask forgiveness? Bo Nix said that he grew up watching Lamar Jackson.
Oh, man.
Lamar Jackson is 3 years older than him.
Okay.
So Bo Nix was literally a senior in high school when Lamar Jackson started playing NFL football.
Well, don't a lot of us feel like high school was where we grew up? You know, that's where we learned a lot of things.
His junior and senior year would have been when Lamar Jackson was the best college quarterback. Now, not the highest drafted, but I guess you could say Baker Mayfield was the best. But he won a Heisman Trophy. He was great. All of these things. So I can see where, in high school, I'm just trying to think back in high school who was like a super stud.
Ken Griffey Jr.
Yeah. I mean, he played a while. I was thinking, well, Kerry Wood, but then I played against
Troy Aikman. Yeah. He did. Oh, you're talking about guys that were a little younger.
Yeah, and then I got to play against or I'm competing against. But it was still really cool in 19. Oh, Derek Jeter. Derek Jeter hits the scene in 1996. Now, I wasn't a shortstop or anything like that. But then, like, yeah, I looked up to him where you could say, but in 2001, you're playing against him.
Yeah. I saw the most heartwarming TikTok this morning. Oh. It was a dude, and he plays for the Bananas, the Savannah Bananas
who are coming to Frisco.
His video was his parents were asking him, who do you want to be for Halloween as a kid? And he was like, Derek Jeter. And then the next year, Derek Jeter. And then the next year, and he was like, yeah, he's my favorite player. I want to be him for Halloween. And now he's getting messages from younger kids that are dressing up as him for Halloween. They got all these pictures. And that just seems like that's so cool to be like, yeah, I know it's a different level. But even still, you have the kids are out there watching you, trying to be like you. That's fun.
I will give this to the Savannah Bananas. I mean, one, they are entertaining. Who would have ever thought you could create the Harlem Globetrotters in baseball?
And there's a wait list. There's a wait list to watch it, too.
The skill to do some of these things is really interesting.
You know, when we were growing up, there's not a Harlem Globetrotter who could compete in the NBA. And there's not a player on the Savannah Bananas who can compete in the major leagues. But they've created this very entertaining style of baseball that a lot of people like. The Harlem Globetrotters created a style of basketball where, like, is this basketball? Yes, in a way, they're using basketball as this entertainment.
Mm-hmm.
And, man, the Savannah Bananas have become so popular. Bananas.
From the 817, my coworker needs forgiveness for swapping our appointments before I got into work today. I had scheduled a midday gap, and I would be right off of 114 to come see you guys.
But now they got
to
go do something?
They said now they're in Red Oak without chicken wings.
Blame it on the rain.
No, what do you mean?
Yeah.
Well, I guess it was
because it's raining outside.
That is
Milli Vanilli.
Thanks, Mike. Always appreciate it.
He's been singing that since he walked in the door,
Kevin. I know.
I was singing,
it's going to be stuck in my head
all weekend. Milli Vanilli songs.
From the 469, please forgive the idiots that leave the lights on but don't pass out candy.
Oh,
you know what? Come to think about it, don't forgive them. I hope the roof falls down on them.
Oh my goodness.
That's a lot
took a hard turn.
Lee, what
I made sure all the lights were off.
Okay, so you didn't hand out any Zach Wilson or Justin Fields cards?
And luckily, no kids knocked on the door or parents.
If they did, would you have yelled at them and been like, hey, the light's off?
I just would have not gone to the door, and they would have eventually got the sign that nobody's coming here to give me anything.
How many times would they have to ring the doorbell before you were like, that's enough? I've had it. Get out of here, kids.
I guess if the doorbell doesn't really work, so it's like a fake doorbell. It, like, our phone gets notified through the DFW security app. By the way, DFW security, both our cameras on the outside aren't working. We need help there. So I would say that if they consistently knocked on the door for a minute, I would probably come to the door.
And what would you say? would you say at the door?
Sorry, our lights aren't on. We don't have any candy.
Okay.
I do have a question regarding etiquette.
Okay.
And I know we haven't gone. I know you have that lined up.
Yeah,
but I have lots of questions, actually.
Go.
When I walk with Lucy, I do not walk up to the door. I stand out at the end of the walkway, and I just let, because I want her to have the experience of getting up there and doing all that. What is the appropriate amount of time for her to spend at the door? Because she kind of would be like, happy Halloween, grab some candy out of a bucket and then put it in her bag and walk off. And then she'd say, you know, trick or treat or whatever. And then there was one lady that she came out and she talked to Lucy for like 5 minutes and just asked her questions and
all
this.
There was nobody else out there?
Nobody but her, those two.
You're fine.
I was watching it and I was like, this lady is like really taking interest in Lucy. And then she goes, have you gotten any candy yet? Lucy was like, yeah, I've gotten lots of candy. She goes, no, the bowl's behind you. The bowl's right there. You should have just grabbed some when you walked up. But she did. She talked for like 5 minutes with her.
Okay. I think that's fine as long as you're not like holding up the other kids
or anything
like that.
I'm just trying to get the candy and move on with my daughter.
This is double-edged Forgiveness Friday for Halloween stuff. Does Noah need forgiveness? He's been saying trick-or-treat so many times, but then he just started walking up to people and going, candy, please. And so does that... Because multiple people
you mean
are
that
like,
Noah right there?
Oh, yeah. Well, and then I need to ask him for forgiveness because while we were walking, I go,
Hey, Noah kind of sucks at trick-or-treating.
Oh, my gosh. I feel like Candy Please is much better
than trick-or-treat.
Nobody tricks you now.
Are you sad
like,
about
remember
that?
When we were kids, they would trick you by giving you razor blades in the candy?
Mm-hmm. Oh, my God.
Trick.
Yeah, or
you might die.
Glass in a meatball.
Good luck passing this through your system.
Not going to happen. It's going to cut you open.
From right, so Candy Please is like they're just giving out candy. Nobody's giving out tricks.
Okay, so Candy Please.
I think tricks are a little bit different than Mike thinks, though, in this conversation.
Because they're just for kids. Well, not those other ones.
Did anybody ever, nobody ever razor bladed the candy, right? That was just.
No, I definitely think they did. But that was like in the 70s and stuff.
Yeah, I remember the fear of it when I was growing up. And it was always just a, hey, watch out.
From the 817, we had plenty of candy, but not many trick-or-treaters. Let me ask you this. Do you buy the candy that you like then, just in case this scenario plays out?
All the chocolate was gone before we stepped outside. It was the Laffy Taffys and the Starburst and all that stuff. That was left. The Nerd boxes. That's what they got from our house. And you know what? I did say, take as much as you want. I mean, as soon as all this is gone, I get to go back inside and finish the mask.
Here's the thing about saving candy right now, and this is the worst, and I think people will agree with me. They all have individual wrappers. It doesn't matter. They start melding together. The chocolate tastes like Nerds, and the Nerds have a weird flavor to it. Like, I feel like you have a 24-hour period or 48-hour period. You better start separating your, I don't know, fruit-flavored candy and hard candy away from the chocolate. It all gets ruined. I don't know what the time period is that when they're together, they get ruined.
Kevin, you may love this about my middle son, Carter. Last night when he got...
I do identify with a lot of things you say about him.
When he got home last night, he dumped all of the candy onto the floor. I'm fine with that. I'm okay with it because I know he's going to pick it all up. But then he organized all the candy into separate like piles of certain types of chocolates, chocolates he doesn't like, chocolates he does like, other kinds of fruity things that he likes and doesn't. He had 17 different organizations of candy, and then he rebagged them in little plastic baggies to make that all work. So he was like, this is how it all looks, and he had all these baggies that he was carrying around. This is my donations, this is what I'm keeping, and he had it all separated.
Have you ever been part of the candy exchange?
I don't know what this is.
What is this?
So I saw Brandon do this numerous times where, like, he would trick-or-treat with a group of people, and they would all go, like, whoever lived nearby there would all go into the house, and then they would open it up like it was the stock market. And it was like, I got two Whoppers, what do you want? I'd be like, I'll give you a Three Musketeers. And there seemed to be no consistency on what the exchange rates were.
Because Almond Joy was just right at the top of the list for everybody.
Well, but see, it depends. One Almond Joy could go for... three Snickers.
Uh-huh.
And then another one, you'd have to give three Almond Joys up for one Butterfinger. And I'm like, well, does that mean one Butterfinger equals nine Snickers? That is an unstable exchange rate. And so it was always, I thought that was the most fun thing to see play out. And from the 601, y'all Buffalo Wild Wings on 114. Correct.
Yeah, we're in the grape today, baby. On the vine.
From the 972.
Why do they call it that? I don't think, I have never seen grapevines in Grapevine. When I was in Italy, I saw tons of grapevines. They're growing them like crazy.
Do all the stuff, the paraphernalia and whatnot for the Olive Garden count? Because I couldn't think of another word. Signage. Signage is what I was looking for.
Signage, those are olives. Those aren't grapes.
But don't they have other ones where they're like on their wine menus and stuff, and they're like, here's our grapevine.
Probably so.
Our fermented grape.
So that doesn't count? All right, from the 817, they need to do what Jimmy Johnson did and build a draft trade for candy trade.
That draft value chart,
But it's all subjective in this one in terms of, like, everyone wants that certain pick. This one, sometimes you have somebody who will, like, I will do anything to get a Butterfinger. And then the next kid will be like, here, you can just have this one. Mm-hmm. I don't want it. So if you ever get a chance to see the candy exchange play out, it is extremely fascinating.
What's a popular candy, Kevin, that you are just giving away because you hate the taste of it?
I am sorry, Corey, to your world of things that you love, Almond Joy,
you
Mounds,
know.
Three Musketeers, give them away.
Did you try them?
I've tried them before.
Okay.
I just don't like.
I think coconut is a very controversial flavor.
I agree, yeah, definitely.
That's fair.
We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan, live from Buffalo Wild Wings in Grapevine, off of 114. Coming up next, it's...
Oh, wow. Oh, hey. They think Mike's Likes It's coming up.
It's not coming up next, it's not Mike Likes It. So in your face. It's Gridiron Gravy, Garrett Wilson, and the incredible Jumpman touchdown catch next on The Fan.
Takes the snap, four-man rush. Lobs one left. Into the end zone for Garrett Wilson. Oh! One-handed catch! Incredible! Did he get 2 feet down? Well, you may have heard the ruling. Just as we come back, what you are certainly hearing in the background is MetLife Stadium coming apart at the seams and celebrating an incredible touchdown catch by Garrett Wilson.
Incredible is a great way to describe it. Incredible is actually a great way to describe the scene out here in Buffalo Wild Wings in Grapevine. In your face, people who said it wasn't going to be full. We've got tons of people here.
It was our boss. Yeah, he said we couldn't do it. He was like, I don't think y'all can.
People are coming up here and kissing Kevin on the lips and everything.
That was my wife.
Yeah, that was
okay, you know what? As long as we're revealing things, Mike, what do you think about the way Noah walks?
Noah walks with a strut.
He does.
Noah walks like, I'm just not another kid.
Yeah.
I'm Noah.
Yeah, everybody knows me around here. By the way, from the 214, can I get a shout out to Noah Hagelin for giving me a high five.
Delightful.
Also, Kevin, lots of people saying there is a vineyard about north of us.
Really?
So there are some vineyards out here in Grapevine. Yeah, well, yeah, they
Grapevine
just put them in after Mike
asked. Comes with their name.
Yeah.
And I saw you respond to this person earlier, Corey. I just want to read this. This is a really cool shout out from the 816. Can I get a shout out to me, please? Today marks 3 years clean from coke and pills. I've gone from homeless on the streets to having an amazing wife, amazing stepkids. My son's back in my life and back working in surgery where I belong. Holy moly. Congratulations, Robert. It takes a lot to even tell people your story. Telling people those stories is so helpful for all the people who aren't on the other side of it, right? They're like, no, that's where I am right now, and I have no hope. And then people like Robert, I feel like they come in and they're like, but you do, because I was you.
Yeah. Yeah, no, man. I like that line of, it was the easy decision, difficult chore to do.
That's a good way to put it.
Addiction's tough, man. And if you can make that decision and find the purpose behind it, you've done the right thing for yourself.
And right now, what say we go around the entire NFL and dip into some gridiron gravy?
Here we go!
Gridiron gravy, of course. I love that every time. Brought to you by Rhino Shield. Why paint your house when you can shield your home? Visit rhinoshieldtx.com.
I did yesterday.
Okay. Yes, I know. Mike had lots of thoughts and lots of questions about it. Did you guys get a chance? Because I know this is a tough Thursday night football game in the Metroplex because we got the Mavericks. Also, if you have kids or anything, maybe you're doing Halloween stuff. It felt like the Jets-Texans game kind of went under the radar. That Garrett Wilson clip that we played, that is one of the greatest catches I've ever seen. And then also the Jets win over the Texans, which I have to admit, despite the struggles of the Texans, I was pretty darn surprised by that.
So was I.
CJ Stroud did not play well.
Stroud and
he neither did his offensive line sucked.
That's
yesterday.
What I was going to say. His offensive line was not good. They're missing people. And look, that is welcome to the NFL, right? Like that's the way the league is. You're going to be missing people. You got to figure out how to overcome those things. That's the strain that he's dealing with. I saw somebody, was it Clarence, that said, this is what it's like to play with expectations. And I was like, yeah, there's that too. I mean, that does live with it. But last night, this is kind of what I was asking Jerry earlier a little bit. Last night, the Jets looked like they were having fun. After the first half of that, I saw what, the 75-yard punt or something like that. And Bill Barnwell said, that punt was too nice to be in this game. And I was like, yeah, he's right.
Oh,
this game's miserable.
Dang.
But then it seemed like the Jets, after a couple touchdowns, after they started rolling, they looked. Even Aaron Rodgers was smiling. You don't see that very often. So they look like the fun part of it.
He can dominate his coach again.
And Devontae Adams in the postgame, too, kind of reflected that attitude that you were talking about, Corey. Like, he seemed pumped up. Sauce was happy. Garrett Wilson was happy. Yes.
No, I was going to stop talk after you were done.
No, go ahead.
On that game
go ahead.
Is C.J. Stroud. His cards are down 50% this year.
Man.
And it's not his fault. The reason that they are is everybody had him that collect cards. It's the silliest thing ever. People are like, you know what C.J. Stroud's going to do this year? He's going to win MVP and win 3 Super Bowl championships. And it's like, he can't. He literally can't do this. And cards are built up so much. He's having a good year. So when Thunder Dan here looks at me like, are you crazy? He's a really great quarterback. No, he was built up to be better than Patrick Mahomes before this year started in his career. That's the same thing with Wimby I was talking about the other day, because out today at the Dallas Card Show, you're going to see a lot of CJ's Stroud cards for sale.
Definitely.
They're still going to be very expensive. Don't get it like, oh, no, he's not cheap. It's just that they had him built up that his cards were as much or more than Patrick Mahomes' cards. And that's silly because Mahomes has 2 MVPs, 3 Super Bowl championships, and people were paying more for C.J. Stroud than they were Patrick Mahomes before the season started. You're like, C.J. Stroud can't live up to these prices. It's impossible. He could win the MVP and the Super Bowl, and his cards would have gone down this year.
That is the game, though, trying to predict who the next one is going to be.
And like that's what you've talked about with Wemby, for sure.
Yeah, it's just it's weird how people nowadays are like, well, he's going to be better than Tim Duncan?
Yeah.
He's going to be better than Patrick Mahomes? Because that's what you're paying a price that you're saying Luka for. Like, he's literally going to be better than Michael Jordan and LeBron James. Are you sure Luka's going to be better than LeBron James and Michael Jordan?
From the 808, the Garrett catch was better than Odell Beckham because of the toe tap or the shin tap. And then from the 817, wasn't a catch. I mean, they reviewed it, and they overturned it. That's how you know it was a catch, because they hate to overturn.
They also said that Dez didn't catch it, remember? So
that's why we needed to change the rules. That's why we needed to change the rules.
Clarify the
rules. NFL has put too much emphasis on the shin.
Okay.
I think that the knee should count.
Well, and that was the first thing that my
shin's just a shin. We count feet and we count knees.
My kid asked me last night. He was like, "Do you have to get both feet in?" I said, "The shin counts as 2 feet. The elbow." You know, I was trying to explain all those things for him.
I think the shin should count as 2 feet.
All right.
I think the knee has to count as 2 feet.
Well, tell
Steven. The elbow counts as 2 feet.
Monday, tell Steven that. Yeah,
but the shin, they've definitely overrated the shin.
Now you, Kevin.
Not a sentence I thought I was going to hear today.
Yeah.
So. Yeah, that definitely is something. But
I found out the shin counts way more.
That was definitely. He had again. You like you said earlier. He had another one-handed grab that just kind of goes on the wayside of everything.
Yes, that no one will remember.
Yeah.
Yeah, because he plays for the Jets, and they're not going to be remembered this year.
Yeah, oh, that man. Is.
They just
that
got a big
fair.
Upset win. Like if you think about it, they can only lose one more game the rest of the year. Great win for them.
Yeah.
And I know that there's plenty of New York Jets fans, but they get covered a lot because they're in New York. It's kind of like Mets fans. There's not tons of Mets fans, but they are in New York. Is it's like, all right, is this going to turn around their season? Sure, if they only lose one more game the rest of the year.
Yeah. I think you heard that reflected from Aaron Rodgers, too, and he's like, we needed to win this game.
Yeah, there's so much they got to accomplish there.
Now, let's talk about Puka Nacua. There's a couple of things here. First of all, Brock Bowers is on pace to break Puka Nacua's rookie receiving record. Nacua had 105 catches. Brock Bowers right now is on pace for 111 catches. But then you hear word that Puka Nacua is banged up again. And then this morning the news has been the knee injury is not believed to be serious. But has Puka Nacua at least maybe just this year? Is he in the category of you're like, that still makes me nervous, maybe more nervous than your average player?
I'll ask it this way, because I think you're asking a great question, because this is where I'll answer, but then you guys throw it back at me. If I am running the Rams, I'm not giving him a second contract. I'm out.
Yeah.
Because he's going to demand over $20 million easy, if not up to $40 million by the time he's a free agent. So I'm like, I cannot pay a dude who gets hurt this much in his early 20s, and I'm going to pay him into his late 20s and think that he's going to be healthy? No way, no how. I use him one more year, and then after 3 years, I'm looking to get second and third round picks out of him.
Christian McCaffrey has been out for a long time,
yes,
right?
The whole season.
And it feels like the team has had no interest in rushing that process, kind of waiting maybe till he's ready. I felt like they rushed Puka. And I wonder if like a lot of teams do that. A lot of players do that. They rush themselves to get back out there.
Do you think that with McCaffrey is a product at all of Mason being better than they thought? And they're like,
maybe or maybe the seriousness of the injury too, and they're looking at later in the season more than anything else.
Now, Jaden Daniels 6 wins, Bo Nix 5, Caleb Williams 4, and then of course dependable Drake May coming in with 1 win.
Yes.
Rookie quarterbacks this year have combined for 16 wins. That is the second most in the first 8 weeks of a season since 1950. The only class they're behind is 2012, which had 17 at this point. Do you remember the two marquee in 2012?
Luck and Griffin?
That is correct.
Good job, Mike.
Very good.
And they won Richardson. All those games, yeah.
He's a heck of a, a heck of a Heisman Trophy winner.
Yeah. If you guys had to guess right now, when do you think the Chiefs will lose their first game?
I don't know their schedule. Can you get their next
three? Yeah, if you want to take a look. Otherwise, I can walk you through it as well. Because
they can struggle against the Broncos. The Broncos' defense is very good.
The betting favorite right now is at the Bills the week after.
Yeah, makes sense.
I do believe. But also, 10-1 on your money if you think they're going undefeated in the regular season. Yeah, I don't think that.
I wouldn't bet
that's
that.
Not high enough. Like, it feels like it would need to still be, like, I don't know, 20, 22.
I don't know if it was choppy, but somebody who is more familiar with Vegas than I am, it might have been somebody when I was with the Rangers, not like a Ranger, but
yeah,
that kind of follows betting way more than, let's say, we do. Is Vegas is making so much money on gambling. They always have, but even more now that it's on your phone to gamble
sure.
in certain states, is that they are making the odds worse and worse, and it doesn't
because they know you're going to do it anyway.
So many
yes.
people are addicted to betting on sports that they're like, the real odds should be maybe 14-1
yeah.
on that or 18-1. Like, it doesn't matter. We can even make the odds worse, and people are still going to hit the button.
We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan as Corey might
my prize
be
picks.
Gambling right now. Coming up next, Cowboys win because Cowboys lose because. We'll get after it live from Buffalo Wild Wings in Grapevine on 105.3 The Fan.
It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get 4 5G phones on us and 4 lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on a required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
This is the secret story of a young Russian oligarch who hacked his way to a $93 million fortune. I'm CNBC's senior Washington correspondent Eamon Javers. In our new podcast, The Crimes of Putin's Traitor, I'll take you inside a shocking Russian crime targeting the American financial system. Attacks that sources tell me were welcomed by Vladimir Putin's government. Listen to CNBC's The Crimes of Putin's Traitor free on the Odyssey app.